Good morning, and welcome to Being Here with host Ariel and Shia Kane. The Kanes will take you on an exciting exploration which will open the door to living in the moment. Now, here are your hosts, Ariel and Shia.
Welcome, everybody.
Hello.
I'm Ariel.
I'm Shia, and the name of the program is Being Here.
Today we have, or this evening, this morning, depending on where on the planet you are, we have a very special episode, The Art of Relating as a Family. I don't know about the folks, you folks in Europe, but the folks in the United States are gearing up for next week to have Thanksgiving. So a lot of us are preparing to spend time with family and could really use the art of relating as a family.
Before we get going, though, we want to let you know a few things.
Yes, we do.
First of all, we finish each other's sentences. So when we do,
please include it. It's our style, especially once we get warmed up.
Right. The other thing is that our approach is not problem-solution-oriented. We're not about fixing problems. We've discovered that if you discover or learn how to live your life directly in the moment, you don't create problems.
In fact, you know, as you say that, Shia, working on yourself doesn't work.
And additionally, working on your family doesn't either.
So today,
we're not going to work on you. We're not going to try to change you or fix you. That's our promise. And if you don't work on you and or try to change you and fix you, you might be pleasantly surprised by how magnificent your life can become.
So we're very excited today. In a little bit, we'll be including our guests. I have to tell them about who's coming on in a few moments.
Okay, you tell them.
Some of our closest friends, actually three of them.
We've known them for about 45 years.
Well, I haven't, because I kind of joined in as we went along. Since Shia and I've only been together a little over 25, but they were Charlotte and Bill Saylor are a couple of Shia's oldest friends, and now they're a couple of my dearest friends as well, and their daughter Christina are our three guests today, and they are very, very wonderful, and we're really excited. We have them here with us to talk about the art of relating as a family, because it's quite an extraordinary family.
But before we get to Bill and Charlotte and Christina, we want to talk about our approach, which is anthropological, not psychological, and it comes from looking and seeing what is rather than resisting or trying to fix or change one's life. It comes from the idea that if you see yourself without judging yourself, that's enough to have your life transform. It's based in awareness.
It's a scientific approach. Scientific as in, it's not self-recrimination and self-reproach. It's observational. What Shia and I have discovered is if you simply see something, it's enough to dissolve mechanical ways of relating that have repeated and repeated so that you're no longer dominated by them.
Right. The key is listening. Most of us do not listen non-preferentially. We do not listen to hear something as though we want to hear what it is. We listen to see whether we agree with it or disagree, whether we already know this, well, this is just common sense, or if it's something, how to apply it to our lives. We don't just listen to hear what another person is saying from their point of view. And given that Thanksgiving is coming soon and you're going to be with family, you might have a little experiment to see if you can listen non-preferentially to your family.
And here, today, let's see if we can practice the art of simply listening, not to collect tips so that we can fix something that we may think is broken, not so that we can try to improve something, but simply listening, not only to what Shia has to say or what I have to say, but to Bill, Charlotte, and Christina once they come and join us. See if you can listen simply to hear what another person has to say. That will pull you into the moment. And the moment is this incredibly wonderful place where whole new experiences are waiting rather than a repetition of the same old, same old. There are three very basic principles of transformation. We like to touch on them every show.
Because there are people who are tuning in for the first time on every show.
And if you listen as if you haven't heard it before,
it can have a profound effect on your life when you hear it.
And it's also very good practice for being with family, where you hear what somebody has to say like it's the very first time they've ever said anything like that. So the first principle of transformation
is anything you resist persists, grows stronger, and dominates your life.
So, on the family theme, if there's anything about one of your family members that you don't like and you resist, it not only will persist, but that behavior or habit will dominate your life and your experience of being with them. What you resist persists, grows stronger,
and dominates your life. That's the first principle. Second principle is in this moment of now, you can only be exactly as you are. That's not possible to be any different than you are right now. Now, here's the thing. Another way of looking at that is that no two things can occupy the same space at the same time, so you can only be as you are in any given moment of now.
Okay.
Or now.
So you can only be exactly where you are and exactly how you are in any given moment. So wherever you happen to be listening to this show from, that's exactly where you can be and only where you can be in this given moment.
And it's where you need to be to start to have your life transform. Because what's possible on this show is nothing less than your life transforming as a result of listening to it.
Okay, third principle, ready?
Anything you allow to be exactly as it is. So you see something, if you don't judge it, you let it be exactly as it is, it can complete itself. It will complete itself and lose its power over your life. Real simple. So simple, it's hard to understand.
Definitely.
I mean, we all think you got to do something to fix yourself. You have to do something when you discover something. Well, what if you don't have to do anything? You just have to be there with what is. And that's enough.
Okay, so we got the three principles. What you resist persists, grows stronger. You can only be exactly as you are. That's the second principle. And anything you allow to be
exactly as it is will complete itself.
There are the basics. Okay.
Now, if you don't understand it,
we'll see what we can do over the course of the rest of this show to find some practical examples
of
it.
Or else you'll just have to tune in next time.
Mm-hmm. That's not a bad idea. Okay, here we
okay.
go. So let's start with the parental units, the GRUPS, old Bill and Charlotte Saylor. Bill is a professor at Pratt Institute, the largest art
school in
the world. He's a tenured professor, very brilliant man. His wife, Charlotte, is a dental hygienist and has been for many, many years and a nutritional consultant. They are individually exceptional people and collectively
an exceptional couple.
So we would like to welcome Bill and Charlotte to our show.
Hi, everybody.
Hi, everybody.
Hi.
How you doing?
Great.
Great.
Excellent, thank you.
Bill, I'll start with you. It'll just make it easier. Tell us, how many years have you two been married?
How many years?
Maybe Charlotte should have asked Charlotte. Sorry, Charlotte.
Yeah, we've been married 47 years. I just figured it out when I knew it was going to be on the call. I knew it was over 45, but I wasn't sure.
47, wow.
Now, let me ask you, how is life in your family these days?
It's really great. We just are really happy with things, and life seems magical sometimes. Bill will think of something, and I'll come out and say it, or I'll be thinking of something and he'll come out and say it now and then. It's really funny how we kind of think each other's thoughts sometimes, or I can sort of feel what he's saying, what he wants to say, or let's do this, and he'll say, oh, I was just thinking of that. So
I have a question. Was this synchronicity that you guys have always the way your relationship was of these 47 years?
Heavens, no.
No. Not at all.
See if you can describe the difference, because I'm sure there are a lot of people out there who currently don't have the kind of synchronicity you just described, and they would love to have it. So how was it for you?
Well, we got married, and I had all kinds of fantasies.
How old were you guys when you got married?
I was 19, I think, and Bill was 21.
Wow!
Yeah, we were right out of
you were babies.
Babies. We didn't think we were babies. We
of course
we were.
Not. Babies never think they're babies.
And we got married, and we just fought a lot, and I was very.
What did you fight about?
Everything. I mean, we didn't even know that we were fighting, though. It was like really like bicker, and we thought this was very normal to do that.
Well, it probably is very normal, Charlotte.
Yes. And also, I talking for myself, I kind of blame Bill for the way my life was, and I thought, well, if he was different, or if he only did this, or he only did that, then our relationship would work and life would be better. It was really his fault that my life was looking the way it was. I really had nothing much to do with it in my mind.
And how long did this go on?
It went on for a really long time until we met you guys. And it had its better days, but most of the time I was pretty angry and frustrated and always toying with the idea, should I get out, should I stay in? And that's
see, now, Charlotte, you sound very normal. See, given the divorce rate in the States, it's somewhere around 60% these days. There's a constant conversation in many people's relationships. Should I get out? Should I get, you know, should I stay?
Definitely. I saw that in my, you know, that was part of my schematic for, you know, at that time. And I was also afraid to get out. Like, I just thought I couldn't do any better. I didn't know, and all the implications of getting a divorce, and I was just not very happy and very ambivalent most of the time.
I want to ask Bill what was going on during that time, but I'm wondering, are you glad you didn't get out?
Oh, I'm really, really glad. I couldn't imagine a better life now. In fact, I couldn't imagine when I started out or through the years of my marriage, because I really didn't change, or it didn't really transform, I should say, until I met both of you and attended your seminars. I knew Shia before, and I knew you, and occasionally saw you, but when you started doing seminars, I started attending, and then things really shifted, and I started to see my life. That I was responsible and that I created.
Had something to do with it?
Yes. That it wasn't necessarily his fault that we were in the situation we were in.
Bill?
Yes?
During that time frame that Charlotte's describing, when she was angry and she was thinking about whether or not to be in the relationship, was it a similar thing for you? What was your dynamic?
Well, it's actually... Well, I played the blame game, too. It was her fault, and that we shouldn't have gotten married in the first place, and that, and it was, I had exactly the same dynamic. I was thinking about getting out of it, and that, of course, that we would hear from each other all the negative repercussions of getting out of it, which included what would our parents think, in other words, that, and, so we were... operating into life in terms of duty, and
so basically you guys were the victims of your life.
That's right.
Yep.
Ultimately became my parents' fault in a way, because they had didn't guide me properly.
That's great.
This is so perfect that it's the art of relating as a family.
they didn't guide you properly. Could they have possibly guided you properly?
No, I was a stubborn so-and-so.
Hey, Christina, I know you're there in the background. You there?
Yeah, I'm here.
So I have a question for you.
Yeah.
I'm just curious if this idea that I would be happier if my parents guided me properly was one that got handed down to you, and something that in the earlier part of your life you thought as well.
I think so, because I kind of felt like I didn't know what to do. Like, I didn't know, I was kind of lost. And I felt like, I don't know, I just didn't know where to go, what I wanted to do. And also, another thing was that I didn't really have, like, a profession that I wanted to go to. And it was just kind of like a lack of structure that I was blaming it on, but it...
That your parents weren't structured or strict enough?
Yeah, in a way. It was weird.
Well, I didn't know where I wanted to go either. I think there are a lot of people who are young who don't really know what they want to do.
Well, I didn't find my calling in life until I was in my mid-40s.
Right.
So, Bill, Charlotte described the shift for her. What happened for you?
Well, one, I stopped complaining about my life as being caused by her, and I saw how I really was abdicating my responsibility to her as opposed to myself. And that, I've felt much more comfortable that way, by the way, when I shifted into, saying, I'm causing this. That means I can do something about it. Or I can actually be present to it and actually transform it every time I got uncomfortable with the circumstances and really notice how I did create it.
The it being the stress or the
tension? The stress in the relationship, stress in the relationship. And the relationship went beyond just Charlotte and myself. It went to almost every relationship that was out there, so that...
I'm not tracking with you, Bill. What do you mean it went to...
Well, other people that I...
So are you saying you were blaming other people? If you were feeling disgruntled in yourself, it was always somebody else's
fault?
Yeah,
they didn't do it right for me.
Ah, yes. They ruined your moment.
They ruined my moment, yes.
Yes, yes.
So,
I understand now.
Actually, earlier in Shia's and my relationship, we had a thing about Shia ruining our moments, you know. Everybody was that way.
Ah, yes.
So even your best friends ruined your moments.
Ruins my moments, right.
Yeah, it was a friend's fault.
Well, actually, what's great about it now is the friends, without interfering in my life other than pointing out what's going on in it, have actually made it possible for me to realize my moments as being genuine, connected, a feeling of aliveness in them, and I find that in and of itself is exciting, because that my relationship to my friends, both Shia and Ariel, has totally shifted over time, so that the person I remember them being is—they don't exist anymore. That memory, those beings are totally new for me now, and I really love that. It's like discovering people.
Do you find yourself discovering your daughter newly?
Yes, ongoingly. I have a great deal of admiration for her. I really enjoy her. Think of her as my daughter any longer. Really, I mean, yes, obviously there's a parental connection, but I think of much more as a friend. I could actually ask her a question that would may what she thinks of things, and I would just feel like I was talking to a friend who was giving me good advice.
So how did this come about that you listen to your daughter? You know, most of us that are parents have gone through this process of training our children to be social beings, and it never really shifts for many people. They're always the parent, and they always see their child as needing coaching rather than becoming a friend.
Mm-hmm.
How did that happen?
I'm hard-pressed to say anything specific. I know that I just stopped wanting to fix her.
Ah.
Yeah, not wanting her to be a certain way or do a certain thing that I thought was what she should do. And just seeing seeing how she is and supporting her in when she's going for her life, meaning that she's putting herself out in the world and being excellent at whatever she wants to do.
And that's, by the way, what I really noticed in her is her presence to excellence and going for it on an ongoing basis. Being that
you hear that, Christina? Your parents are finding you excellent.
Yes.
Is it hard to take?
A little bit. No, it feels good. I'm definitely getting a little emotional.
That's pretty wonderful that your parents consider you friends.
Oh yeah, I mean it's amazing. I consider myself so lucky.
Why is that, Christina?
You still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
A little verklempt, I'm sure.
A little verklempt, yes. Because I have a relationship with my parents that not a lot of people have. It's like,
well, then you had to do something to have that show up that way. You had to stop treating them like parents.
Yeah, well.
And the enemy.
Right, exactly. Like, I saw how what I was doing in my life, like blaming, I would blame them for anything that was happening. Like, it wasn't my fault. It was all that they were doing it to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I started seeing that I definitely had a part in how they were relating to each other and how they related to me.
Ah, so that's excellent. So you all, individually and as a family, just started to discover how to become responsible for your own lives. This is getting very fascinating. So we're going to come back after we take our break, and we're going to talk more about the shift that happens when you're responsible for your experience in life rather than blaming your parents or blaming your children for not doing it right, okay?
Okay.
Okay.
Great. So come on back, everyone. We'll be back shortly. Don't miss
being here.
Ready to be inspired, entertained, and enlightened? Let award-winning authors Ariel and Shia Kane support you in discovering a state of well-being that in the past was rarely, if ever, achieved. Now you too can experience Ariel and Shia's revolutionary new technology, Instantaneous Transformation, that has helped thousands discover how to have more satisfying lives without working on themselves or their problems. Visit www.transformationmadeeasy.com to receive free audio downloads and to sign up for the Kane's weekly newsletter featuring articles, inspiring quotes, and stories from real people just like you who have discovered enlightenment through the Kane's approach. Visit www.transformationmadeeasy.com. Transformationmadeeasy.com.
Create a life with growth, balance, abundant peace of mind, and joy. Tune in and call into Spirits Evolving with pragmatic psychic and certified hypnotherapist, Lee Channing. By using the simple tools for growth offered by Lee, including intuition, color awareness, creative visualization, and more, build a stronger understanding of your own energy and offer clear, unencumbered energy to those with whom you share your life. Whether for an individual or a business, home environment, or your office, Lee evaluates and interacts with the energy at hand, providing an analysis of the problem and a description of the options available to move forward successfully and with grace. Spirits Evolving with Lee Channing broadcasts each Friday at 9 a.m. Pacific, noon Eastern, on the Seventh Wave Network, your online community for positive change. Spirits Evolving, your guide toward a life filled with more balance, intention, and contentment.
Manifest your personal and professional dream by honoring your true genius and magnificence. On DeMartini, Live and Inspired, host Dr. John F. DeMartini shares his enlightening perspectives, humorous observations of human nature, and practical action steps to live a truly inspired, purposeful, and fulfilling life. His scope of knowledge and experience is a culmination of 34 years of research and studies. Dr. DeMartini's trailblazing philosophy and revolutionary understanding is reshaping modern psychology and business and changing the lives of millions. Broadcasting each week as a special program on the Seventh Wave Network, DeMartini, Live and Inspired, transforms thought and stimulates action. Get ready to break through to live an amazing life.
Don't let anyone tell you that you can't have it all. You can. In fact, you can have one big life. Join Linda Copeland weekly as she interviews some of the most successful and inspiring women in the nation about their work, their family lives, and their passionate commitment to living that one big life. Linda's show broadcasts live every Wednesday afternoon at noon Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern on the Voice America Women's Radio Network.
Your online community for positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
You are listening to Being Here with host Ariel and Shia Kane. If you would like to participate in today's conversation, please call now. The toll-free number is 1-866-472-5795. Again, 1-866-472-5795. Now, back to Being Here.
Welcome back. Hey, we're talking with Bill, Charlotte, and Christina Saylor. They are a family that has a remarkable relationship, and I have a question for you, Bill.
Okay.
So, your relationship to Christina, your daughter, has it always been friendly and mutually respectful?
No, I can think of some incidents where I was playing the role of dad, and so that,
role of dad mean to you?
I refer back to my own father when I start thinking about that role and how he was.
Right.
This is not to blame him at all, I really love it that I had the father I had, where in the past I didn't love it that I had him as my father.
Right.
That the one thing about him, he was a strict disciplinarian, quite the opposite the way we were treating Christina, and then I would revert to being my father.
So and in times of stress, out would pop your conditioning.
Yes.
And this lack of structure that Christina was mentioning earlier was also in reaction to the strict disciplinarian.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Okay. Good. So there are times I'm taking that you yelled at her, etc.
Yes, I did.
All those parents out there who ever yelled at your kids, raise your hand. All those kids who ever deserved it, raise your hand.
That's everybody.
Okay, we should have gotten everybody there.
Yeah.
I don't recall doing any more than I did spank her once. I don't remember any more than that.
You know, I do recall a couple things just from having been around for Christina's...
Different stages of life.
And right. There was one thing that you guys did that really, really impressed me. I really recall there was a time when Christina was going through her punk phase, and she was kept dyeing her hair different colors, and you know, bright, bright green or bright, mm-hmm. bright purple. And she stopped doing it at some point, and she was still, you know, younger. And we said, "What happened?" And I remember that. Charlotte, you said to her, "You know what? You haven't done fuchsia yet. Let's go out and get it."
Yeah, I took her to the beauty parlor, and they actually thought we were both a little crazy, but I think she got this, like, hot pink
yeah, it was
color
hot pink.
On her very long hair.
And it was like you got behind her reality, and she didn't have to be doing it as a "don't tell me what to do" acting out.
In resistance to her mother's wishes.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, it probably got her back to normal colored hair.
Yeah, well, I think it wasn't too long after that where she wasn't those bright colors anymore.
Yeah, it was definitely the start of it.
How old are you, Christina?
I'm 32.
So you're 32. Very good.
And
well, you know, some people might say, well, it's the maturation process, you know, as people get older, they become more friendly with their parents. But it hasn't been my experience that most people are. So, Christina, what do you attribute this to?
Well, it is definitely because my parents, were attending your workshop. And they invited me to take part to come to a breath group. I believe the Freedom to Breathe was my first workshop.
Mm-hmm.
And I know for sure that is what facilitated this. It allowed us to just look at how we were relating to each other and seeing how what we are actually doing. Instead of what we think other people are doing, like blaming other people for how we were.
How old were you?
16.
You know, one of the things I really recall from when you were younger, Christina, was that you pierced a lot of things. You know, you had pierced nose, pierced tongue, I think, pierced. And I recall having a conversation with you. And it was a really wonderful conversation with you where, to my recollection, I said it, but Shai could have said it. Who knows who said it?
You can take credit. I don't care.
We said, you know, you can continue to do that, and you can get tattoos and pierces and have funny hair colors, but it will definitely narrow down the populace that you can work for, that there will be people who will judge you specifically by how you look, and that there will be certain things that you will not be eligible for, and that's your choice. So that's fine to do it, but just be clear. There are consequences to that choice.
Yes.
And you went home and immediately removed.
I did. I remember that. It was a workshop up in Phoenicia, New York, that you guys were leading, and it definitely, I came home and I was just like, I was just done with it, you know. I wanted to have as much possibilities in my life that I could. I didn't want me piercing myself or dyeing my hair to prevent that from happening.
So I have a question. I'm sure at the time you did the pierces, you thought it was self-expression. Looking back now, how much of it was to get a rise out of your parents?
Oh, I remember, yes, definitely. I mean, I got, you know, I have two tattoos, and I definitely had a lot of different parts pierced, and definitely was, you know, it was like I remember asking my mom, could I get my eyebrow pierced? And she said no. I don't remember exactly what she said, but it was like definitely no. So I got my nipples pierced instead.
I didn't know that.
You didn't? You never knew that, Bill? It's whole lunar. This is ancient history, Bill, thank God, right?
Yes.
Yes, lots of times in the art of relating, and if we're looking at a family, one of the things that people really get stuck at is that they do not want to be told what to do. And sometimes they'll do quite wild things.
But you know, that first principle of transformation is really interesting because people want to be independent, especially children. And they get the sense of independence by having something to resist. And if their parents resist them, then that's how they know who they are, in resistance to their parents, rather than discovering who they are as an individual without having to do things to make themselves special.
You know, one of the things I find most remarkable about all three of you is the agelessness that I find happening with you. And what I mean by that is that Charlotte and Bill, I'm very close to you, and Christina, I'm very close to you as well, and I don't tend to think of any of you as an age. I don't think of any of you as being wiser or brighter or perkier. I think you're all very extraordinary. And I'm wondering if there's any knack that you guys have to have you be individuals rather than the role mom, the role dad, the role child.
I knack?
Is there something that you...
From my point of view, it's a matter of being just authentically engaged in life as it shows up. So I'm honest with Christina. I'm honest with Charlotte.
Do you listen to them?
Oh, absolutely.
And do you listen to them to promote a point of view, or do you listen to them to hear what they have to say?
To hear what they have to say.
That's very, very crucial. And also, if you want to say before and now, this thing about being right, like wanting to have your point of view be the right way, and then that comes partially from not listening, because you're not really listening to the other person's point of view from their point of view. You've got your ideas about what they're saying. And the other thing is that you just want to be right, like you want your way. You think your way is the best, and you just don't even listen to their point of view.
So basically you're like in a temper tantrum.
Yeah.
When that's the case, when you want your point of view and nothing else, you're basically in a temper tantrum.
Exactly.
And to listen, to really listen, you have to give up your point of view to hear what another has to say.
Mm-hmm. And more specifically, you have to let go of what you want to say so that you can hear what the other person is saying, and trust that if whatever it was that you thought you were going to say was
important, it would show back up because mm-hmm. it would be appropriate.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Hon, I know that you all have a lot more to say, and we have more to say as well, but we are going to be briefly going to a break once again, and we invite you to come back, and we'll speak to you again in a few minutes. So come on back, everyone.
And join us for Being Here. Bye. Not completely bye.
Ready to be inspired, entertained, and enlightened? Let award-winning authors Ariel and Shia Kane support you in discovering a state of well-being that in the past was rarely, if ever, achieved. Now you too can experience Ariel and Shia's revolutionary new technology, Instantaneous Transformation, that has helped thousands discover how to have more satisfying lives without working on themselves or their problems. Visit www.transformationmadeeasy.com to receive receive free audio downloads and to sign up for the Canes weekly newsletter featuring articles, inspiring quotes, and stories from real people just like you who have discovered enlightenment through the Canes approach. Visit www.transformationmadeeasy.com. TransformationMadeEasy.com.
Tune into InnerSpeak Soul Adventures Talk Radio Show every Tuesday evening at 5 p.m. Pacific Time, 8 Eastern, and learn how to let go of your past and create the reality you desire and deserve, allowing your inner communication to take place more easily without the interference of our noisy mind chatter or your ego. InnerSpeak Soul Adventures with Gene Adrian, right here on the 7th Wave Network.
The Unity Radio Hour, more than a radio show. The Unity Radio Hour is leading-edge spirituality, which will help you discover new ways to enhance your life, your relationships, your career, and more. Plan to spend every Wednesday afternoon with your host, Mindy Ottlin, for the Unity Radio Hour, broadcasting live on the 7th Wave Network at 12 p.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Central.
Never before in the history of live radio have such illuminating revelations challenged everything we thought we knew about the hidden realms. This exceptional mystic, seer, and healer creates a truly amazing bridge across the chasm that has separated man for eons
from the unseen worlds of mystery.
Join host Al Mean for an extraordinary and enlightening hour by Walking Between the Worlds on Voice America's 7th Wave Network.
Walking Between the Worlds
airs live every Wednesday at 7 a.m. Pacific Time, right here on the 7th Wave Network.
Experience higher love, an archangelic journey into ascended joy and authentic living.
Your hosts, Sri Ram Ka and Kira Ra, will assist you to open your heart, expand your love, and be ever present with true joy.
Your journey with Sri and Kira begins right here on the 7th Wave Network with Higher Love, Wednesdays at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern.
Taking you to the threshold of a dream and beyond. Seventh Wave Network.
You are listening to Being Here with host Ariel and Shia Kane. If you would like to participate in today's conversation, please call now. The toll-free number is 1-866-472-5795. Again, 1-866-472-5795. Now, back to Being Here.
Welcome back, everyone.
Yes.
You know, Christina mentioned the freedom to breathe. The freedom to breathe and the art of being a healer is a weekend workshop we're offering in New York City.
In just 2 weeks.
It's November 30th and December 1st and 2nd. It's a Friday night, Saturday, and Sunday. If you want to know more about it, you can go up onto our website, TransformationMadeEasy.com. That's TransformationMadeEasy.com.
That's TransformationMadeEasy.com.
And you can find out more about it as well as all sorts of things that we do. If you're not yet on our email list, you should be.
And you should tell friends about our radio show.
It's really quite a wonderful
if
thing.
You want to.
We've been
only
hearing more and more from people about how listening to this show recenters them in their week and makes things so much easier.
We just had a lady from El Paso, Texas, come up to New York
a couple weeks ago
to do a workshop with us. She did How to Live a Magical Life. Her name was Carla.
Hey again, Carla. Nice.
And she called in one day and asked us a question on the radio.
And now we're good friends. Okay, we're at the Art of Relating as a family. We have the Sailor Clan.
Bill, Charlotte, and Christina. And Ariel was about to ask Christina a question.
You know, I recall when you had that fundamental shift back into being in love, Bill and Charlotte. You came to one of our longer courses. We no longer do them in Bali, Indonesia. We do them in Costa Rica at this point, but it was in Bali then where you both realized that you've been holding grudges against each other since the first year of your marriage.
And that was probably, what, 15 years ago?
Yeah. And Christine, I'm wondering if you noticed at all the shift that happened in them or if that was transparent to you, or?
I think at that time I was lost in myself. I remember I actually got my nose pierced until they were away.
So, to punish them. Ah, yes. You leave, I stick a needle in my nose.
Right.
Uh-huh. So that was right before. Well, luckily they came back as an allied team so that we got to get to know you so well very shortly thereafter.
Yes.
And I'm really happy you came and joined us for the Freedom to Breathe, because it's such a pleasure knowing you and knowing how incredibly responsible you are in your life.
Oh, thanks. It was such a great experience, and thank you for holding those courses, and I thank my parents for inviting me.
Hey, Christina, I have another question for you.
Yeah.
A lot of the individuals who come to our workshops, I don't know if you've noticed this, but I seem to see a lot of people having lots of conversations about how they think their parents should be living their lives, not necessarily in relation to them and how they raise them, but people have opinions against how their parents are going about living. And I'm just wondering if that's something you're plagued with, or if that's something that's fallen away, or...
I can't remember ever thinking anything like they should be doing something other than what they're doing. The only thing is that I want for them is that they go for their truth. Because I know sometimes they talk about their day and their work day, and there's things that bother them, or they have dreams about what they want to do next, and I think that they're afraid to do them, but I just want them to do what's true for themselves.
Wait a second, how old are you, Bill?
69 years old.
And you're afraid to go for things?
Well, I have considerations about going for things, yes.
I love that. I really love that. I mean, not that you have concerns about going for things, but I really think that people have the misconception that you reach a certain point or you mature a certain level and you have no concerns. And I also think that parents often think they have to be in the lead, and they don't see that their kids, as they, kids at almost any age can really see you if they're really looking quite clearly.
And I think Christina, she often will remind me of things, or not as in that I lost my memory of it or anything, but that sort of not let myself sink back into feeling like I'm getting older and maybe I should slow down. That she points out things, and because of the way we relate, I'm able to hear it. I'm not just the mom or the old lady in the family, you know, that I'm a viable young person just like herself, and I'm out in the world, and she's really an inspiration to me, as well as kind of someone I can go to and talk about things with, and she gives me really good advice.
This is Christina. Sometimes we'll be on the phone for like over an hour just chatting and talking about things. And one other thing that I find is that as a family, we really support each other in going for our truths, and also if we are going to other family functions, like for the holidays, we'll be a support team, all three of us. So in case other people might say things or just some uncomfortable.
So if an uncomfortable situation comes up, that you support each other in staying centered?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Now, I have a question. You know, you say you speak to your mom. Do you speak to your dad as much as you speak to your mom?
Probably not as often, but actually the other night we had a really nice conversation. Like, I feel like it's a different
Do you feel a pressure to make it equal?
Sometimes I think that why don't I talk to my dad more?
Well, maybe he's not as chatty.
That's what I come up with.
You know, because I really see it sometimes. People feel a pressure to equalize things with their parents when really each is an individual relationship. And sometimes you may have more fun chatting, being chatty. I chat with you a lot because you work part-time for me and for Shia. I chat with you much more than you chat with Shia, and I don't think that your relationship is any less robust with him than it is with me.
That's true.
So I just want to suggest that to everybody, that you can have unique relationships with different family members, and you don't have to try to equalize them to make them fit your standards of what would be a better you or a better them. Well, it's been wonderful having you three together in this format today.
Thank you.
Yeah, and thank you very much for joining us.
Yes, I really enjoyed it.
Yes, me too.
So, want to make sure to invite everybody back next week for being here. And also, again, if you're not on our email list or you want to get the weekly podcasts or find out what other people in the community are doing or the workshops we have to offer, be sure to go to transformationmadeeasy.com. And
please share your experience of our radio show with your friends.
We love to see each month how this community of people are growing. We get very excited when we hear that there are people all over the world listening to this show. The Internet is such a fantastic thing. And part of our website, by the way, Christina works at our web company, Tag Online. And if you need a great website, you can contact Christina at Tag Online, and she will set you up because they are a wonderful resource. So thanks, you guys, very, very much again. Wishing you guys a happy holiday.
And we want to thank all of you for being here with us on our show today.
So we'll see you all next week, or hopefully...
We'll speak to you all next week. I hope you all make it.
And come on back and don't miss...
being here.
I hope you have enjoyed today's episode of Being Here. If you would like to learn more about instantaneous transformation, visit the Canes website at www.transformationmadeeasy.com. Transformationmadeeasy.com. Be sure to tune in next Wednesday for another exciting and empowering episode of Being Here.